8 weeks from tonight, I will be ordained as a minister of word and sacrament, which will mean, among other things, like navigating a new set of tax laws and having a new title, that I will be among those who have the joy and the privilege of presiding over the sacraments. And as I anticipate what it will feel like to baptize and to invite people to commune at the Lord's table, I find myself frequently ruminating over the words of Scripture and in our liturgies around the sacraments. The congregation where I was an intern during seminary has something in common with COS, that is, that it celebrates communion every week. So in the past several years, I've gotten very familiar with communion liturgies, and it's become a very regular and very wonderfully familiar part of my life. Lately, as I reflect on this passage in Matthew, it's the verbs that particularly capture my attention. Jesus took, Jesus blessed, Jesus broke, and Jesus gave. With these simple actions, he instituted the Holy Sacrament that we continue to celebrate with the church throughout the world. He shares his own body and blood with people then and now who are mere mortals, mere sinners, mere table companions. This sharing of body and blood tangibly ushers us into the fullness of God's love for us, love revealed in a surprising and powerful and material way in Christ Jesus. By sacrificing his own self, he unites us to himself and nourishes us so that we can follow him as his disciples. When we share in the communion of Christ's body and blood, a number of things happen. One of them is that we are strengthened to live into the church's call to be the body of Christ in the world. And it strikes me that as we are united to Christ, as we are conformed to the image of Christ, both as individuals and as a community, we too are taken, blessed, broken, and given. These simple actions of Jesus reverberate throughout the lives of those who are joined to him in the feast of faith. We receive the tangible signs of Christ's sacrifice for us, and in turn we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to be used in God's kingdom. Paul's letter to the Romans urges us to present ourselves, our very bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, so that we will not be conformed to this world, but that our minds will be transformed, so that we may discern God's perfect will for us. The meal that first foretold what Christ would do and which now proclaims what he did until he comes again was the sign of Christ's obedience to the will of the Father. The sign of Christ's sacrifice, played out in the actions that he initiated, resonates throughout the lives of his redeemed followers. First, Jesus took. Jesus reached for the bread as a sign of his own body. It is he who initiates the meal, he who invites us to partake. Christ also reaches out and takes us, gathering us to himself in order to make us holy as he is holy. Jesus claims us, he chooses us, he calls us, he collects us from the far corners of creation and works through his Spirit to bind us together into one body, so that we may continue his work that he began in the world. Just as the grains are gathered from many fields into one loaf, and just as Christ himself holds all things together, so we, his people, are drawn from the ends of the earth and gathered into his body, the church. To be taken is to be chosen, picked, selected. We don't always want to highlight this because it can so quickly sound triumphalistic. Saying the chosen people seems to highlight the fact that others might not be chosen. But the emphasis belongs entirely on the fact that God chose anyone at all, that God, out of sheer mercy, decides to enter so willingly and so fully into the lives of human beings. Next, Jesus blessed. Jesus thanks God not only for providing the bread for the meal, but also for making Jesus himself the bread of life. In blessing the elements at this point in the meal, Jesus consecrates them. He sets them aside. The bread and the wine are no longer ordinary, but they're set apart for a different purpose. We too are a holy people, set apart, living purposefully as God's instruments in his kingdom. God blesses us abundantly to show God's love for us and to equip us for what we are called to do. To know that you are blessed is to be ready and receptive and responsive. It is to understand God's deep, deep love for you as a child made in God's own image. And in the community of faith, together, our blessings are shared and multiplied far more than we could have as individuals. To know our blessedness, both individually and together, is to know that we are free to rejoice in God's acceptance of us, that God's favor is freely given to us, and that we do not have to earn it. Next, Jesus broke. This is the hard part, the messy part. But without it, without Christ in his body experiencing the messiness of injustice, violence, and death, we would not know salvation. The broken bread and the poured out wine declare Christ's submission, his selflessness, his acceptance of the entire world's burden of suffering. To be saved by Christ is to know him not only in his purity and his perfection, but to know him in his suffering. Paul writes in Philippians of wanting to know Christ in his sufferings so that he can be united to Christ. If we are to be united with Christ, we too will know suffering in a particular way, even beyond the sort of suffering that the whole world knows. Maybe it will be persecution for our faith. Maybe it will be deep solidarity with those who are suffering. Maybe it will be the pain of foregoing what the world wants us to have in order to embrace what God wants to give us instead. In our brokenness, we weep with those who weep. We mourn with those who mourn. We reach out to the brokenhearted even when it threatens to break our own hearts. We share in Christ's sorrow for a world that does not know the ways of peace and wholeness. And of course, the important distinction is that our own suffering is not for the world's redemption as Christ's suffering was. His was a unique, once and for all sacrifice that only he could make as one both divine and human. But he demonstrates for us that when we live by God's truth, when we are ruled by God's will instead of the will of the world around us, there will be a cost, and we will need divine sustenance in order to withstand it. In the breaking of bread, Christ demonstrates the depth of his love, his willingness to pay the ultimate cost for us in his own body, in his life. This is no cheap grace. Henry Nouwen talks about being taken, blessed, broken, and given in a wonderful little book that he wrote as a letter to a friend. The book is called The Life of the Beloved, and Nouwen says that because Christ has reconciled us to God, we too are God's beloved children, of whom God says, "This is my beloved," just as God said it when Christ was baptized in the Jordan. Living as the beloved, we too come to know what it is to be taken, blessed, broken, and given. And on this point of being broken, I think that Nouwen has a good way of expressing the worth of brokenness, how to understand it. He says that the key is to see our brokenness as under the blessing. It is not apart from the blessing or at odds with the blessing. We are not under a curse, we are under the blessing. And when we can cling to that, when we can draw near to our brokenness instead of trying to avoid it, we can discover our true identity in the brokenness of Christ. When we understand our brokenness as placed under the umbrella of our blessedness, that's when we're able to know true gratitude. And this makes me think of the times that I've heard testimonies of individuals who've been through some sort of tremendous hardship and yet have come to a point where they are truly grateful for the lessons and the truths that they were able to know as a result. I thought of this week when a friend forwarded me an article written about a year ago by Tony Snow. Snow was a news anchor and a former White House press secretary. And he died a couple of weeks ago from cancer. In this testimony of a year ago, published under the title, Cancer's Hidden Blessings, Snow recounts how his ordeal with cancer gave him a new insight into his faith and into his life. Because, as he said, once you enter into the valley of the shadow of death, everything changes. Instead of succumbing to bitterness or fear, Snow became profoundly grateful for the life he had left to live. And his colleagues now attest to the witness of his character throughout his illness, that he maintained gratitude for all that he was still able to experience. Snow said this in the article a year ago, "There's nothing wilder than a life of humble virtue, for it is through selflessness and service that God wrings from our bodies and spirits the most we ever could give, the most we ever could offer, and the most we ever could do." I think that Snow came to know intimately that even when he thought of himself as most broken, he had so much to give to those around him. Maybe more than he ever did before. Because brokenness is not for nothing. God transforms brokenness. Through Christ's acceptance of humanity's brokenness, the world is redeemed. Nouwen emphasized that we are taken, blessed, and broken in order to be given, that all of these things hang together and culminate with the opportunity for us to be given, to be a gift to the world. Because finally, after he had taken, blessed, and broken, Christ gave. He shared himself and all that was his with those who are undeserving. He teaches us to share his gifts with one another, to distribute what he gives us for the good of each other, not to hoard it all for ourselves. He demonstrates that indeed our love of God and our love of neighbor are so intricately tied. Christ's salvation comes to us personally, but it comes to us at a table that is never set for just one. None of us can live as Christ's body in the world all by ourselves. It is together, as the church, corporately, that we can show forth his death, his rising, and his promise to return. Christ sets a table for us where we keep learning, again and again, that with God there is always enough to go around, and that the best way for us to know and to enjoy what God has given us is to share it with others. One Sunday this spring, as I sat in worship at the church in Brooklyn where I will be ordained, I found myself thinking about how Christ gives to us of himself and then calls us to give to one another, because the children's choir was singing the song, Pass It On, which is all about how once you've experienced God's love, you can't help but want to pass it on to others. That concept of passing it on came to mind again a little later in the service when we witnessed the baptism of a 3-year-old girl named Eliana. The pastor was moved to tears as he baptized her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The little girl was silent, stoic even, as she received the sacrament of baptism. But shortly afterwards, with a wet head, wet curls plastered to her forehead, she leaned into her father's shoulder and cried and cried. It was almost like the crying itself got transmitted, passed on from pastor to child through the act of baptism. And I know this is reading a lot into it, and a three-year-old is not trying to be theological when she cries. But to me, that crying echoed Jesus' actions of taking, blessing, breaking, and giving in the life of this young Christian. Baptism, like the Lord's Supper, is a sign and seal of so many dynamics of our life with Christ. And I think of those tears as reflecting the way that a new child of the covenant is taken, blessed, broken, and given. Tears of relief that God has chosen to take her from the bonds of sin and despair. Tears of gladness for the blessing of washing and forgiveness. Tears of brokenness as the old self dies away and the new self is raised to an awareness of Christ's compassion for the world's suffering. And tears of awe and gratitude for the opportunity to be given in Christ's name to the world, to live one's life as a testimony to the free grace of God and Jesus Christ. Surely, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, when we are united to Christ by the tangible signs of his love for us, we receive anew the promise of God's salvation and the sustenance that we need for the coming to life of our new selves. Through God's grace, as we live into the promises of our baptism, our bodies and spirits are fed by the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, which was taken, blessed, broken, and given for us. Thanks be to God for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.